The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Mick Norton to look ahead to the best of Bank Holiday Monday's action. A feast of action we've got as well on Monday. Cartmel, Chepstow, Epsom, Huntingdon, Newcastle, Ripon, Warwick and over the Irish Sea at Downpatrick. Something for everyone. I think we'll fit as much as we can in on William Hill Radio tomorrow. 1:15pm start time. You'll be back again, won't you, tomorrow, Mick?
I will. I think there'll be some weather for everyone as well, by the look of things.
Yeah, true.
Alex, so I don't know if you can sort the weather out between now and then.
I will do my best.
Okay.
I will do my best. Mm. How's things anyway? You've had a good week at York?
Yes, it's been an interesting week. Quite a few horses have gone into the tracker for the future, and a few regrettable occurrences. Too good to getting beat. I think she just went back too soon after 26 days after the King George. Mm. I think that was, although it might have looked a penalty kick, you don't have easy group ones. I mean, you know, she might have looked as if she hacked up in the Oaks and the King George, but you just do not have easy group ones, you know, just over 3 weeks.
No, it's true.
I just didn't see the point. If they've got their eye on the arc, I didn't see the point of it.
No, I think that's fair. But, you know, at the same time, you've almost got to strike while the iron is hot, haven't you? Sometimes. I suppose each horse is different, and they clearly thought that she was...
Yeah.
I mean, she even got back, didn't she? 2-7 into 1-5 on course.
Absolutely. Well, she looked fine in the paddock. I thought she just didn't travel as well as she had at Ascot and Epsom. I thought she was just carrying herself a little bit awkwardly through the rail. Although she travelled strongly enough, she just didn't look the same to me. Just didn't look to be travelling the same, but... Anyway, it might just have been an optical illusion. I'm watching on monitors as well, so that doesn't help.
No, true.
But it just took all of the oxygen out of the day. Mm-hmm. Getting beaten. It was a flat day Thursday.
Mm. Yes, it was. I was there as well on Thursday. And
yeah.
I know what you mean. But in terms of highlights of the week, then that's obviously something that we would have liked Degruder to have got the job done, but. In terms of those that did get the job done, who sort of stood out for you, either from, a wow, that was impressive kind of way, or a one for the future kind of way?
Well, the most impressive visually was Soul Power. I mean, it looked like he'd just joined in at the two marker.
Hmm.
It was sort of like it slipped in at the two marker, and, I suddenly found himself at the back of the field, I've got to find a way through here. And he's just like cantering away. We're talking about 5 furlongs in 57 seconds. And he's just sort of looking, oh, I might go there, there's a bit of a gap. No, I won't go there, I'll go there, there's a bit bigger gap. And he's doing this all through the last furlong, and he was just unbelievable to watch.
Mm.
Good top sprinters, flat out, and him just cantering in behind them.
Who deserves more praise there, horse or jockey?
Well, I think they both do, because a lesser jockey than Hughes would have blown it completely, gone barging where he shouldn't have done, could have easily lost it in the steward room. Horse needs, well, he's got tons of natural abilities, we've seen so many times, but I think Richard gets plenty of credit there for not panicking. Mm-hmm. A lesser jockey would have panicked.
Yeah, true.
It just looked unbelievable. Honestly, it was incredible. Look back at it and you'll see what I mean. Even 100 yards from home, he still hasn't got to the front.
Mm.
And he's still cantering.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was incredible. It's similar to Pat Smullen's ride on Short Squeeze on the Thursday.
Yeah.
Similar kind of ride, you know, yeah. Ducking. I spoke about this on yesterday's podcast with Andy.
Mm.
They were both high class rides by very, very, very good jockeys.
Yeah. And we saw some very good two-year-olds as well.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I don't think the Gymcat was the best two-year-old race of the week. Or I think the Lowther was up there. Mm. I mean, she was amazing, wasn't she? The sales race was excellent race.
Mm.
And the Convivio Maiden, now that will throw up some good horses there.
Always does, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we saw Master of the World win the last race, and that ran in the Convivio Maiden the year before. So, No, that's always a very strong maiden.
In fact, I still haven't finished, because I've been so busy sort of having to get one day over and you start prep for the next. I haven't really had time to go back and really top up the tracker, but as I do it race by race, there was one horse went into it yesterday. Maybe not so much for on the flat, but when he goes over hurdles, and that, I don't know if you saw the race, the Melrose Muradel, from Uradel, I should say, from the Willie Mullins yard. Mm. He was made a lot of use of. I thought he was going to drop out about a furlong out, and then I look back and he's still plugging away there.
Yeah.
First run since being claimed out of a Sean T. Claimer back in June. First run for Willie. Lovely, stocky, robust. Wait till he gets over, jumps a hurdle. There, you might have already seen the favourite for the Triumph Hurdle.
Triumph, yeah.
Before he's even seen a hurdle.
Well, you always see, though, don't you? You know, these horses for the Triumph who look, well, not unlikely. They're obviously very likely types, but ones that have been running on the flat or have maybe ran once over hurdles, or it's just sort of word of mouth, isn't it? Gets round.
But it's not just, even when I did the paddock, I just looked at him and I thought, well, I think I said in my short comments about him, I said it won't be long before we see this fella jumping early. Looks like he's made for it. Got bags of bone, good, looks to have a really good hardy attitude, good solid bay colour, just the sort of horse you could just see Ruby lobbing around on him.
And of course the Irish had a fantastic week, didn't they?
Unbelievable week, and rounded it off by winning the Eber with mutual regard. Tremendous training performance by Johnny Murtagh. We should have seen it coming, really, because that listed event that he was third in the last month was franked by Pil Mimosa, wasn't it, the day before? So, you know, we should have seen that one coming, really. But you had to race prominently. I mean, Palisato was given an awful lot to do.
I thought that as well, actually.
Desperately.
I don't think that was the best ride that Luke Morris has ever given a horse.
Unless you were prominent, the horses who came from off the pace, Palisato was the nearest, Clever Cookie came from miles back, never got into it properly. The winner, second and third, were never further back than mid-div. You know, in fact, Mutual Regard was never worse than third, I don't think, if memory serves. And it was a very fast time, but they didn't stop up front, which you won't. You're talking about, it's a Class 2 handicap in name, but it's basically a Group 4 race, you know what I mean? It's a quality race where they don't let up. In fact, they're stronger run races than a lot of group races.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair, to be honest. But unfortunately, York is over. We've got to move on. But Monday is often a bit of a drab day for racing. But obviously, Bank Holiday Monday, you get some good quality races.
You do always, but we have done this Monday, Alex. Mm. We've got dotted around the country. We've got lots of prize money and some really good quality Class 2 handicaps at unlikely venues.
Yeah, we do. We've got three that we're going to look at. One's at Epsom, one's at Ripon, and one is at Chepstow.
Absolutely.
Which is probably the well, not one of the most unlikely venues, but not especially known for their super prize money.
It's the last place you'd look for a 50 grand handicap on a Bank Holiday Monday, isn't it?
It is indeed. We'll start at Epsom, though, with a 3.10.
Mm.
It's a handicap of a 5 furlongs, Class 2 event, with 12 runners down to go to post. These Epsom sprints are tricky to call. It's often best to look for course form. Where should we start here, Mick?
Well, I've got three on my shortlist, but I'll give you the selection first, and it's the top weight Seeking Magic. Clive Cox trains. He's been running in 6 furlong handicaps, which he is effective over, but we know that he handles this flat out 5 here. Should have won the dash in June. Should have won it comfortably. Somehow contrived to get beaten. It finished second. It's only a pound higher than that. And, I think he's got to be taken seriously, especially with Ryan Tate on board now, taking off the £3, which actually, taking his allowance into consideration, pushes him below the mark he should have won the dash off. And as you say, course form for me in this particular race especially, paramount. So Seeking Magic gets the vote. Humidor, trained by George Baker, James Doyle in the saddle. It's his first run here, and he's losing runs adding up, but he's knocking on the door, and money for it came for him at Goodwood last time when he's when he was forced to race alone, which was a disadvantage. And he's the handicap has given him a chance. And if he takes to the place, he could easily outrun his price and hit the frame at a fancy price, Humidor. The other one is long-awaited. Now, he's a cliff horse, long-awaited. The times he's been followed over the cliff is nobody's business. But he's not easy to win with, but much better last time at Doncaster when he was second of 17 behind Go Far, which is strong, solid form. And, more importantly, one of his three career wins was over this course and distance. And David Barron, a trainer that knows the time of day, has booked Ryan Moore to ride long-awaited. And I think back here, he's got to be taken seriously. But I do think Seeking Magic can gain compensation for not winning the dash, which he should have won.
OK, Seeking Magic the pick then in the Epsom 3.10. Next up is the 4.45 from Ripon. It is the Ripon Rowells Handicap over a mile, again a Class 2 event. 11 runners down to go to post in this one. Only one place to start here, Mick. That is with the grand old horse that is Osteopathic Remedy. Michael Dodd Charge is now 10, but has won this race in 3 of the last 4 years. Loves it at Ripon. Hasn't been in the best form this year, I think it's fair to say, but give him his due, did score at Thirsk last time out in the Thirsk Summer Cup. Regardless of you know whether he's in decent nick at the minute or not, you've got to just have him in the back of your mind for this, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, Conor Beasley's taken off the 3, and you can never discount him at Ripon, his happy hunting ground. Got a terrific record here, and well, he was always going to come back here, wasn't he? I think that that was a little bonus in winning at Thirsk earlier this month, and it shows you that Michael has teed him up nicely for another crack at it. I'm just looking at younger legs for this year's renewal though, Alex.
Okay, where shall we start with that one?
Well, we'll go through the shortlist. Bartak has got to go on the shortlist. He's 1-for-1 at over this course and distance. He's also got form over further, so the harder they go, it won't worry him. He improved from his debut to put solid efforts in all of his starts since improving from that debut, including 2 wins and not beating far in his other starts so far. Into the 90s, now the mark. That demands a bit more and up into Class 2, but he's hardly taking on unexposed types, is he? So he may well be able to cope with it. And we saw the stable once again, the horses holding their own, the winner at the Ebo Festival. And he's got to go on the shortlist. If we can, he's probably the pace angle, trained by Mark Johnson, Franny Norton on board. This is his first run here, but he does get the £6 weight for age allowance that the 3-year-olds get. But he's posted some good efforts right-handed, including both of his wins. So it's not bothering me that he's coming to Ripon for the first time. And although the form figures aren't that inspiring, those runs are as bad as they might look. And I think he's well drawn for a front runner. And if he can come back to that form when he just ran them ragged at Musselburgh in June, he might take some pegging back. And we see front runners win, you know, meeting after meeting at Ripon, don't we? Mm. So he's hard to discount, the 3-year-old. Norse Blues, another one from the David Barron yard. Gibbons rides this one, £3 lower now than his last win. Not exactly looking like a winner waiting to happen, but he is becoming too well treated to dismiss. Winning twice around this trip last year, including the very competitive Thirsk Hunt Cup. And, you know, he's been running, actually, those form figures aren't inspiring, but if you get into them, he's not been beaten far in some good races, and the handicapper is at least relenting now. So £3 lower than his last win, he could reward each way support. But the selection is going to be Mujasif. David Nichols trains, Adrian rides. He's quietly creeping back into form for his new yard since the tongue tie has been put back on. Still only a maiden win to his name, but his new trainer is certainly getting to grips with him. He posted a very solid effort at York last time when third of 18 behind Bronze Angel. Bartak, who opposes, was second in that and came out and won at Ripon shortly after, giving the form a very respectable look. Could have gone to the York Ebor Festival, didn't, waited for this. Mujisif gets the vote in the Rip and Rowels.
OK, Mujisif there in the Rip and 4.45. And the final race that we'll look at is the 5.05 from Chepstow. Handicap over a slightly extended mile. Again, Class 2 event with 10 runners down to go to post. A superb race for Chepstow this. With some really interesting contenders. You've got the likes of Fury, who's been there and done that. Has been called a few names along the way as well. But is still a pretty high-class performer. You've got Jack's Revenge, who constantly runs at a pretty high level. And then you've got the likes of End of Line, who is thoroughly unexposed and could be anything, really, in the hands of the soon-to-be-retired Jamie Spencer.
Yeah, back out of Patton Company after probably being chucked in at the deep end too early in his career, and he has also been gelded, so they've given up the Patton aspirations with him. He's trying to make a sire out of him, and it's now back to reality. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes off 94. I haven't put him on the shortlist because I think I'm going for sort of more exposed types, if you like, but I take where you're coming from. The very fact that they thought he was good enough to run in the French 2000 Guineas tells you a story, doesn't it?
And of course, the last time that this horse ran was behind Master Carpenter at Sandown, which is when Ryan Moore gave that horse an absolute peach of a ride.
Absolutely.
And it's been sort of freshened up since then, obviously being gelded. And
exactly.
But running the 2000 French 2000 Guineas the time before that, you know, if he's anywhere near as good as they think he could have been to running that, he's going to take some beating here.
It's a cracking race. I take where you're coming from. Fury, you mentioned Fury. He's got a modest strike rate, but he's got bags of ability. He wears a tongue tie for the first time. I wonder if that'll make a difference. He dabbles in Patton Company now and again, so he gets a little respite from the handicapper. But he did post one of his better efforts last time when finishing at 4th of 11 behind Balti Boys at Newmarket last month, beating about just over three and a half lengths. Seb Saunders knows him well and has been booked to ride by the informed Willie Haggis. What a festival, Ebor Festival William had. Genius Boy, his little four-timer came to an end at Salisbury last time, but that was Group 3 company. He did finish last, but it just looked as though he was out of his comfort zone there. His handicap mark has risen from 71 to 94 this year. He's still a lightly raced improver. Excellent strike rate. He's won 5 of his 9 career starts and he's difficult to discount. George Sank, another improving horse. He's stepping up in grade, but the same mark as finishing 3rd of 11 behind Angelic Upstart at Goodwood. That's solid form. Angelic Upstart went to Newmarket, finished second next time. Another good solid effort, giving George Sank's profile a very solid look. Cracking race, but I'm going to go with Jack's Revenge.
Okay.
He's yet to run a bad race in 5 this year. He finished 5th in the Buckingham Palace Stakes at Royal Ascot. He was an excellent 2nd behind Barrowes at Goodwood, only beaten in Galway. I should say Goodwood in Galway, only beaten half a length. And he also run 5 days early and finished close up 5th in another very hot handicap. He deserves a change of luck, this horse, and let's hope he can and get it here. And he should be a tidy price as well. It'd be good betting heat, this cracking race for Chepstow, isn't it?
It is indeed. And Jack's Revenge, the pick in the 5.05. Great stuff, Mick. Can you just spin us through your 3 picks, the one at Epsom, the one at Ripon and the one at Chepstow on Bank Holiday Monday, please?
Yeah, the 3 Class 2s. We'll start with the 3.10 at Epsom. The 5 furlong, it's a mini dash, isn't it? And the horse who should have won the proper dash, for me, gets the vote, and that's Seeking Magic. The one of the big handicaps on the Ripon season, the Ripon Rolls, takes place on Monday, a Class 2 for the 3-year-olds and upwards, and Mujisef sidestepped a possible trip to the Welcome to Yorkshire Ebor Festival to wait for this. Take the hint, I would say. And in the 5.05 at Chepstow, Jack's Revenge deserves a change of luck. 5th in the Buckingham Palace at Royal Ascot, 5th in a hot Galway handicap, then 2nd in another hot Galway handicap 5 days later. And the form of that has been franked already. he deserves a change of luck. So Jack's Revenge for the 505 at Chepstow.
Okay, thank you very much, Mick. I look forward to seeing you try and manoeuvre your way through all 8 meetings tomorrow.
Yes.
We'll hear you live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:15 p.m.
Yes, we'll need to lie down when that's all over, won't we?
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.